Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN, on a very business-like Tuesday. Yeah, we're coming in here after an L. I think we suspected as much. When you're going up against Jokic, Nikola Jokic, and I think John was sitting in the expensive seats with his jewelry on. We'll ask him about his firsthand experience watching the greatest help take down the Grizzlies. Really was Jamal Murray, two hitting shot after shot. Got a text, too, from John about Peyton Watson, how great a player he is. He was tearing it up. There's no question about it. I'm still looking for the headbutt. Something that I'm assuming might have had to have happened. I saw Jokic wipe his brow as if something might have hit it, almost as if a fly had hit it. And Edie sort of, you saw that. That seemed like the only time where they might have bumped heads.
I didn't notice.
Okay. I was eager to get into this, but Edie continued to play.
Edie played for a little bit, like 2 or 3 minutes after it.
You were trying to pin it. So anyway, what's next with Edie, who was pulled from that game? What's 6 minutes in? Isn't that around the same time that we had that starting lineup before Ja ended up having to go? 6 minutes in?
Against Cleveland, yeah.
We can't catch a break.
Yep.
Now, the sun peaked out today. I don't know if you saw it right before the show started. I hope it's a sign. I hope it's a sign. John's looking at me like you a fool.
A sign of what?
A sign of what's to come. A better, brighter day. It starts today. What's next? What's the next Memphis sport that we have going? Is it Tigers tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Good things. Grizz about to embark on a road trip where there's a bunch of easies.
Winnable games.
Good things.
We'll see how easy it is. But
I see a way back to, dare I say it, 9-12.
Well, let's get Zach Edey back on the floor, because if he's not, I do think that will be a harder journey, as we will touch on, doubtless.
Again, how hard is Jokic's head?
I thought it was maybe an elbow or, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. Again, I thought I saw Jokic wipe his brow as if something had hit him.
On an integrity level, I feel like this is outrageous today. The message today feels misplaced.
What's the message?
The message is, you just got dirt dogged by a champ.
Oh, well, you didn't have some of your...
I can see clearly now because it's a sunshiny day. It's just illuminating.
I'm trying to turn the page on the bad, but I think John is predicting that it will continue.
You got to sit in it for a minute.
I mean, these are wins coming. And, yeah, they're going to be against lighter opponents, but I'll take wins over losses any day.
Well, we got to get those wins first. Yeah.
Have you seen this upcoming schedule? Yes. We better or else DEFCON 1.
Tank.
May as well push the – what is that? What is that thing that pilots got, that little steering wheel, but you push it down, right, when you're ready to go down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you do that if you lose some of these next ones. Have you looked at the schedule?
No, it's very.
These teams are bottom feeders.
They are.
I'm going to tell you what concerns me, too, is that it might be too much of a basement to get beneath. That, unfortunately, that's what Jeff was talking about. Yeah. That you might by default end up in the play-in. We'll see. There's some things. Clippers going to come up, you would think.
Right,
Kawhi's
right.
coming back.
I mean, look, they're certainly winnable games. There's no question about that. I just, if Zach Edey doesn't play and no John Morant, I think those games will be more of a battle. I mean, you know, then you
oh,
know,
yeah, I mean, you are on. Yeah, you're on the road.
Because
no question.
Then, you know, you're depending on $50 million man, Ted DiBiase. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I was peeping him out in the post game. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So a lot to get to on the show. I tell you this, the sun shines every day for that man. It don't matter if they win, lose, draw.
Facts.
That yeah. The sun peaks out every day for Jaren Jackson Jr. Mm-hmm. And so we will celebrate his effort today on the show and get to a whole lot more here on a Tuesday. Busy show. Jessica Benson is going to join us. Talk to her. I was actually sitting right in front of her, so
okay.
I could hear. At one point, I did hear a fist hit the table behind me, and I respect that level of passion. You know, that's what makes these Grizzlies broadcasts different with E Money is that you know you can literally feel the passion if you put your back to the table, you know, at some point. So anyway, we'll talk to Jessica Benson about that. Grizzlies' effort last night against the Denver Nuggets, in many ways, a win. There is no doubt about that. In many ways, they were leading before Zach Edey got injured. Can we count that one in the record books as a .2 of a win?
Tell you what, Zach Edey goes out, so does the defense. Gave up all those 30-point corners, came back.
Yeah.
What you weren't doing when he was in there. Did, I mean, it's just stark.
Yep, it is.
In
it
terms
really
of the defensive difference he makes.
Well, because of what it asks.
Well,
the other big man on the roster to do.
The other big man who we've long called defensive anchor.
That's right.
How can that be so?
That's right.
If what happens after Zach Edey leaves is a drop-off. So we can discuss, but you know the point.
12:25, Drew Hill's going to join us. New father.
Congrats again, Drew.
Obviously, Thanksgiving will be Thursday, and we will be celebrating the holiday with our families, and so we will not be here on Thursday. But we wanted to make sure we could catch up. You know, with Drew Hill before the week is out.
Is he getting sleep? This is usually a all hands on deck. You got to get through the nighttime, right? You remember these times.
Oh, yeah.
The immediate aftermath.
I'm going into him again somehow.
I know.
Unbelievable.
You should remember him well.
Unbelievable. Dominic was not nearly as tough as Riley was, though.
So he became a natural overnight sleeper very quickly?
Either that or we were just used to it.
I think that's the
You know, ladder. It's hard to know exactly yes. which it is.
You just don't remember anything anymore.
When you go from 0 to 1, brother, I mean, it's, as you know, it's...
Becomes a blur.
It's a total blur.
All
and it's,
of it.
It's an insane life change. So, anyway, we'll talk to Drew Hill about everything going on with the Memphis Grizzlies and how he's adapting to fatherhood at 12:25. Looking forward to that.
Can I congratulate you on you and Brad on fantasy victories?
Oh, wow.
We're getting down here toward the end. Just want to update everybody on 929 FM ESPN Fantasy League.
Yes, thank
Brad
you so
and John both get wins. The whole show goes 3-0 for the
thank
week.
You. That,
those are rare.
Yes.
And so we need to celebrate those.
Yes.
Again, especially as John talked, we're going through dark times.
We are.
We're looking for brighter times.
Yes.
And so a 3-0 week for the show, I think, is worth celebrating,
thank
men.
You.
Brad Carson
thank
is
you.
Our executive producer
thank
on
you.
The ones and twos.
Hey.
Also, our boss.
That's right.
No, I look at it as colleague. This is a collaboration, not a dictatorship. Clearly, trust me. This,
well, we didn't call you the dictator.
That's code.
No, but boss indicates like
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
It has a certain.
It
he
does,
calls
it
the shots.
Like I literally feel like a servant over here. I'm here for you.
Well
we
very humble of you.
Yeah, very humble.
Appreciate that.
Here for you.
Also, Frank Bonner is going to join us at 1:25.
Hey, we're adding Frank
us
Bonner.
Ready for
Frank
Navy.
Bonner
bon
joins
bon.
Us every Tuesday throughout the college football
hey.
Season, and
we'll
ask him about.
Hey, Frank.
I know maybe you guys have turned the page on Memphis football.
I had turned the page. Is the television on? Can they see the motion? I had turned the page on Memphis football. It was part of the reason I had no clue about what happens with the tiebreakers in the AAC in
that's
football.
Right. That's right.
We absolutely. I butchered that yesterday.
Yeah. So again,
Navy needs a loss as well.
I hope the team doesn't adopt you guys' approach. You know, there is still something to play for this week against Navy. It's improvement. For what? I don't know. But
I've
something.
Had folks texted me that they're going to be out there frying deep frying turkeys.
Yeah, people are going to eat on
them. God bless them, man. Those folks that are going to be out. Those are the Tiger Trues right there. Need to go out there and high five them folks.
I actually, programming.
That is the foundation of your fan base right there. That's going out there for this one. That means nothing for us and everything for Navy.
I'm not sure Ryan Silverfield quite deserves that.
It means something
for
Ryan.
But I suppose if you want to make it about the team, you want to say, hey, I want to go out there and support the team on the holiday. But as you guys know, NFL day for me on Thursday.
It is a packed one, too.
It's a packed one.
Ryan's going to be on at 4:30 today, by the way. Just
gotcha.
We moved him
up. Right after I absolutely buried him, he's going to be on the show at
4:30. Be on with Gabe.
Gabe, they moved up his weekly.
The big game.
Yeah.
The big game.
And he's going to ask him, I've heard, you know, there's a lot of noise out there, you know, a lot of teams that are looking for your services.
Are there?
What is the latest on that?
I don't think there are a lot.
I actually told Gabe that. I'm like, please don't do that to him.
No, please do.
Ask him all of the questions. Why are there other opportunities?
Why does nobody want you?
You're like, what? Why don't you?
No, now again.
I know. We don't want to be hated.
Because ask about other opportunities.
We want him.
I said that, John.
He is our coach. You know, he is our coach. And so we always are very blessed and grateful for anybody that wants to, you know, work here in this city and be a part of the city.
That's right.
There's no question about that. So anyway, that's the show today. Lots to get to. We're here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We are live on Twitter, on YouTube. This is a new thing. So do you know what our YouTube channel is? Is it this 92.9 ESPN? Is that where?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
You'll have to ask the boss. That would be George is leading that project.
Okay, so all right, so
George
has
now been promoted to boss.
We have multiple bosses.
New development.
Trust me. I'd give it to him gladly.
All right, 92.9 ESPN is our YouTube page. Go subscribe to it. I believe we are broadcasting live every day. This is going to create a little bit of an interesting dilemma when we have, and I hate to say this because it does happen, when we have recorded segments. Because
you'll know it probably because it won't be on the camera. And by the way, I don't think this is encoded yet. I would call this a work in progress. I wouldn't over promote this, is what I would tell you.
See, that's the boss.
That's the boss.
That's the boss right there. But I respect that. You know, I just noticed
that this is feature.
This is an effort, you know, for sure.
I love it.
I think it's like I said, a foray into the future.
Come dressed for television simulcast every day. So I'm prepared for this, John.
Certainly Wednesdays. Wait until you guys see Wednesdays on this broadcast because it gets stepped up in here.
It does.
Okay, there's just no...
Even Herd has noticed.
There's no question about that. All right, we've put
I'm
it
sorry
off.
For interrupting, Bob.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
I don't know much about video, as you can tell. Like, this is... I am overwhelmed by it.
That's why we defer to the boss. Yeah. George.
George is the video master around this gent.
Not the fantasy trade master. Go ahead, proceed.
Although Jonathan Taylor has given me absolutely nothing the last 2 weeks.
Come on, bro.
I think he's up bye week, and then the Chiefs stuffed him.
Enough. You have Jonathan Taylor, enough said.
Yeah,
and you're going to be a playoff team.
No, you're right. No,
you're good.
He gave me 49 2 weeks ago, so I guess I can handle it.
Put that on the Colts coaching staff that wants to throw the ball so much with Daniel Jones on some of those drives in that game.
We've put it off long enough. Let's get to the matters of the week. Travis Etienne Jr., I'm sorry, Jaren Jackson Jr., and a little thing we call cap or no cap. Let's get it. -27. Cap or no cap?
What, no cap.
That is no cap.
I didn't know you were just going to throw it. No, that sounds like an over under.
Oh, no.
But yes, that's no cap. I know the -27 that you speak of, sir.
It is. Now, there are people who say you cannot subscribe to plus minus, that you cannot just look at the box score and determine a player's impact solely on plus minus. I understand the sentiment there. I understand in the interest of fairness, it could be, you know, you were in a bad lineup or, you know, you were just on the wrong end of one run. It's -27, bro. It's not -6. It's not -16. It's -27. And then you take 27. And then you add 23 to that, and then you put a million at the end of it, and that's what Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to make next year with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Jaren got you going crazy every game.
I get it.
It's literally going to be a ritual for me because he is playing so poorly that every night I'm going to be able to get on social media and I'm going to say, man, another crap night for Jaren Jackson Jr. They're paying that man $50 million. He has got to be better.
You were there last night, so I understand it.
And like, I mean, honestly, like, it was just, he was almost a non-factor. I mean, I want to say they didn't put him back in the game in the fourth quarter until like 2 minutes were remaining. Like in the closing, there were like two versions of the closing lineup. He didn't get put back in until about 2 minutes left. It was like they didn't trust him. They didn't, and why would they? He was like 1 of 8 from three. He had two buckets.
Yeah, him and Santi 1 of 13.
Yeah, I mean, and like Denver was zoning the Grizzlies, bro. Like I was watching a professional NBA team get zoned at home, no less, and it worked. I mean, like Santi didn't want to shoot it. Jaren didn't want to shoot. Jaren shot way too much, but he, you know, a lot of passing up shots. Nobody can make one other than really Cam Spencer, it felt like, and Jalen Wells. Jalen Wells had a great game. But I'm not really focused on Jalen Wells or Cam Spencer, bro. These guys are rookie-scale contracts. I'm focused on the guy that's going to be making $50 million next year, who in these moments without Ja Morant, where it's like, yo, can you please stamp? Can you please validate? Can you please elevate? He either refuses to or cannot. Because when Zach Edey left that game, you just knew it was a wrap. The babysitter has left the building. And Jaren Jackson Jr. was drowning. And no one was there to save him. Jock Landale played better than Jaren Jackson Jr., bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unacceptable stuff from him. And it's like, again, I do think that worm is starting to turn in terms of the criticism. And we'll talk to, you know, everybody about it today, Jessica Benson and Drew Hill. But I mean, man, you've got to be better than what you put out there last night. I mean, as a $50 million a year player, you know, you're making big boy money now, and you're coming to the table with these efforts. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies should have won last night, Jason. They were 7-point underdogs. You know, I'm not saying that. But the idea that Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't even give you a chance in the final throws of the game to win, I think that's the problem that I have with a guy that's going to be making a top 20 salary next year.
Yeah, and you know, we could do a version of this after every performance. That certainly seems to be the case. I mean, it's clear that he's not coming close to living up to the expectations now, the increased expectations of him that come with the raise and extension. I would point to this, something we haven't spent as much time on. It's what I touched on there in the open. Zach Edey goes off the floor, and defensively everything slips when we've said Jaren is the anchor of the defense as a former defensive player of the year. I went and looked, and this is according to Basketball Reference. Last night didn't have any, as far as I could see, blocks. Mm-hmm. Last five games, just two combined for the last five games he's played. And so we're not even getting, you know, good level, you know, even move the meter level defensive.
Yep.
Jaren Jackson Jr., right? And you're right. I mean, because we can drive ourselves crazy. If I'm just as frustrated as John. Don't get me wrong. Yep. I'm just not going to let this dude steal my joy. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I mean, at some point, we got to get there.
He's stolen it from
me. But let's be real. Like, all those threes last night, he hit one of them. Like, this is – we could do – offensively, there's so much there that's not happening. You can focus on that. But let's focus on the part we had sort of – this is what we signed up for, is the reason why you invest in Jaren Jackson Jr. To his credit, he's gotten past the injury issues, and he's typically out there. But it's because he's a defensive anchor. You're not getting that anymore.
Because that would be the rationalization. That's the part we have to.
That's what I'm talking about, John. We have to open our eyes now to what's not happening. Something that we assumed happens every night too. It's part of our whole equation of, man, if you've got Ja and Jaren together, you're going to be a winner, depending upon what you put around him, right?
Yes.
Because of Jaren's defensive abilities, you're not getting that.
Yep.
In a way that, come on, last night you got Denver in there, you know. Like John said, Jock Landale is outplaying you, and you seem cool with it.
Yep.
When Edey goes off the floor, you check out too?
Yep.
And it's the foul issues and the constant bitching and moaning. Excuse my French, but I'm just as frustrated as John. With the referees, the hands go up. It's the emoji on your phone.
That's exactly right.
I send it to John every time he does it because it's like clockwork.
Bro, it's the patented Jaren. It's like if he had a shoe, it'd be the logo.
So the frustration is real, and that all needs to get better. We say a version of it after each, you know, subpar performance, but we need to start opening our eyes to what's not happening, what we've assumed of him.
I agree.
That is elite on this defensive end.
Because when you have slippage there,
bro,
you already know you're not going to get production offensively.
As soon as Edey goes out, they're back to giving up 30-point quarters.
Right.
Again, it had been two in the last 16 with him on the floor.
Right.
Edey goes out, you're back to giving up 30-point quarters.
Right.
He's supposed to be the big difference maker.
Yep.
Hell, when Edey's been in, yeah, you're getting a better Jaren, but is he back to dominating the league defensively? No. And I don't know if that's because he's unhappy offensively or because the shots aren't dropping or because yet he hasn't found yet quite that niche in Isolo's new system. But to John's point, it's all got to stop. And maybe we need to stop assuming that this guy is some defensive presence still.
Yep.
Because it feels like that's dropped off the map as well.
Yes.
You know, yeah, maybe more so than anything we assumed of him offensively. Again, we spend so much time on that side and what he doesn't do from a rebound. What rebounding is part of defense.
It is.
Let's be real. It's one of the key parts. It's how you finish off the possession. But, you know, to not be getting the blocks, two in the last five games. I mean, I share in John's frustration. It's tough to watch. You want to see a leader step up out of there. And you're not seeing it, so it's frustrating. And apologize for the, you know, the curse words.
Yeah, well, I don't think, I think it's.
I could have put it a different way, but I think our level of frustration is same. I said I felt like I was dealing with it a little bit better, talking about this whole joy line, but you get it too. I mean, we have to have more from Jaren. You know, the organization at this point, you owe it to them. They've invested in you. This is big men step up now with these max deals. We're not seeing the step. He seems too okay with the sort of status quo. I can just ride the bus. I don't have to drive it.
Yeah, and buddy, he doesn't make a bus rider salary.
Amen. Because again, Jokic, Jamal Murray.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And who was finishing off? Jamal Murray there. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Jokic, great game. But it was Jamal that was the killer last night. And, yes. And John's boy, Peyton Watson. But point being, the guys step up
when
it's go-to time. You've been looking for a closer with Ja Morant off the floor in these games.
That's right.
And if it hadn't been for who you were playing, you know, then I mean, look, you look at the win loss record and all of it coming against these, you know, bum teams.
Yeah, I mean, like you're
wouldn't have those.
You have a top 20 paid guy who can't elevate you and beat. I'm not. And again, I know that it's like the Nuggets are freaking awesome. That's not who we're comparing the Grizzlies to this year. But like even a tier below, right? I wouldn't trust the Grizzlies to be able to get wins against. Like they're not beating the Spurs, right? They're not beating the Spurs when Ja Morant is out. I mean, if Luka Doncic makes $800,000 more a year than Jaren Jackson Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr. makes more than Anthony Edwards. Like he's making this kind of money, and he's giving us like mid-level production. And that's the problem, is that they have committed to a salary, and it's like, I don't know we always have talked about Jaren's trade value as, oh, it's so much better than Ja's, but like, is it? Because somebody's got to be willing to take that contract on.
Again, one thing about Jaren that he's got over Ja's, at least he will be, for the most part, out there.
And he doesn't have
in terms of
the
to a GM and everything else, the availability, no headaches, no off the court, to your point.
Yeah.
And a former defensive player of the year that you can tell yourself in the right system with the right players around him, he can be a difference maker.
That's exactly right.
That's why his value will be higher in terms of trade value.
In my view, it's time to start exploring it.
That's
where I'm at with it. And again, I know we're not close to the trade deadline, so they're not. But I'm just saying in terms of the thinking, in terms of like how you're evaluating these games, because I just – you know, I know you were in a spot and you wanted to pay him and you feel like you had to pay him, but I don't see any way where, you know, this gets out to the end of the contract and everybody's happy with the way the tenure went, because I just don't think he's going to be that kind of player for the Grizzlies, especially factoring in the defensive slippage. You know, that's the other – I mean, you gave up 100 – I don't remember what the offensive rating was for the Nuggets last night, but it was through the roof, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was probably about where they finished, 125. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, no blocks in 29 minutes. Yes. You were one of the best shot blockers in the league at one point in your career.
Yes.
Exactly. Again, two in the last five games. This isn't new.
And, like, there was a moment – everybody talks about that Nikola Jokic pass, and it was unbelievable, right? Like, that where it almost looked like it was a turnover.
Did it just take the breath out of the crowd?
Yes.
I mean, that's what I assumed
happened.
People didn't
understand, including Jaren, who was on the baseline, you know, and couldn't recover, you know, to help. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the job. I know it's tough because he's out there trying to guard Murray, but it's just a mess, man. It's just kind of a mess right now. And maybe it will get better, and hopefully it will get better against bad teams. It's got to. You know, because I don't know how it could get worse than a -27.
Oh, we'll beat bad teams, John. Sunshine. Come on, man. Again, we have to focus.
Like, he's the most frustrating player I've ever watched in the Grizzlies.
Especially as we get into the holiday season, on you being able to still find your joy despite what's going on with Memphis sports. Now, that can be a sub-theme.
You know what else is going on?
Finding your own joy.
You know what else is going wrong for me?
You are blessed, as you know.
Murray State's lost two in a row.
No wonder this dude is on one. I came in this morning just poking a little fun about fantasy. And this guy shot back like a snake, like a cobra. He was ready to strike.
It was not that bad.
And so what we find out.
I see what's going on.
Is that Team Miller and Team Kuiper and Team Martin.
The home team.
Let's be real. Lost what? Mm.
Two in a row.
Why do they suck?
Let me pull up. It's a good question.
Did they not go to Europe like Martin did?
They went. They got one guy from overseas.
Yep. That would have helped.
Now the cat gets out of the bag.
Should have went to Europe.
But they lost to MTSU. Very disappointing loss. Very disappointing. And then they were big underdogs against McNeese State yesterday, and McNeese State handled them pretty good.
Yikes.
Former teammate of theirs at Houston High School, Jarrell Colbert. Most people won't remember that, but Mason and Jarrell did play together and win a title.
And then we've got top 60 George Washington next.
Mm.
Today. It could be three in a row.
What's the neutral? Where are they on that game?
Cayman Islands.
Wow.
Ooh. Yep. Yep. It's been a very, very tough week for us in Racer Nation.
You've been there in spirit.
Job what, watching on the Zoom there, or something? On Flow Hoops. Flow Hoops. I didn't watch the game.
I don't
game
know
last
why
night.
I was kidding, because I should have known. I shouldn't have been kidding.
Dude, look
you
up,
were watching.
Look up the UAB broadcast last night. They were on some platform called Pass the Ball Live, and it cost like $20. They were playing Southern Illinois, who Memphis plays tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the camera got stuck on one side of the court, bro. Okay?
Come on.
It's like, that's the league Memphis plays in, though. They play in a league where one of the teams gets stuck with the camera on one side of the court. It's a joke. It's a joke, man. That's the league Memphis is in. I don't know where the gym was. It wasn't UAB. I don't know where it was.
We cannot lose to Southern Illinois when UAB just beat them. And UAB lost to Alabama State.
The Southern Illinois coach is bitching about the travel, to borrow a word from you. He's bitching about the fact that they have to play 3-4, that they have to come to Memphis after a short turnaround against UAB. So Memphis needs to win this game by a billion points.
That's why I shouldn't have used that language.
Pass the ball live. Pass the ball live like Joker.
Memphis will beat them up pretty good.
I hope so. Peyton Watson, that's a scary development for the Nuggets, by the way. That dude is knocking down corner threes like he's coming on.
You were texting me like he's going to have an all-star season.
Bro, look at what he did against the Grizz last night.
He's good.
That man had, how many he have last night? That man had 27.
Yeah, he's good.
Who? That man had 27 against the Grizz, dog.
He ain't doing that every night.
No. He's definitely not. Just against the Grizz.
I ain't on the Peyton Watson story.
No, you're right. It's just when you see the Grizz in the former defensive player of the year.
When Edie goes off, so does the defensive switch.
Yes. I'm not, like, again, like.
He's averaging like 10-5.
Okay. He sees the Grizz as just like food.
For a good team.
Yeah. Again, champ. Jokic, best player in the world. Jamal Murray, one of the best closers in the league. Like, did they close. I mean, you were talking about
those are vets out there. Like you said, they were
closers.
Coming off a loss they shouldn't have. Yes. I should have keyed in on that.
Yeah, 4-0 after a loss.
That pass from Jokic around the back was.
That was with a minute and 35 left in the game, bro.
Unbelievable.
And he's out there doing that to y'all.
Is it because he was mad about the loss that he didn't celebrate the half quarter, or is that just half quarters at all?
I don't think he celebrates generally, but I think he was very upset about that loss and doesn't think the Nuggets are playing with integrity and respect to the game right now. You know how those Euro guys are.
Between that, the Purdue guy, and then the last play that never should have happened by Wake Forest, we've been taking some hits lately on some of these shots.
No, we have. You're right.
Right?
Yeah, the Braden Smith 40-yard touchdown.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, man. You're right. That was a killer.
That's what I'm telling you.
Because it just sucked. It really did. Like, the Grizz had kind of cut it to, like, they cut it to 5. And you could kind of say, all right, maybe they're going to have a fourth quarter run here.
Yeah.
And it just, Jaren commits a stupid foul, sets that up. And then, he just sucks the life out of the building, man. I mean, I was watching GG Jackson. GG Jackson was on the bench just in awe of Jokic, bro. Like, he was really impressed. I mean, it was hard not to be. It was hard not to. Like,
they all are. He probably is just the only one just outwardly showing it.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yeah, he
the
was
watcher
showing
that we are.
He was showing it, no
that's
doubt about it.
You have to commend Jock Landale on 26-10.
He was battling.
We may never see a game like that again from him.
He was battling. Well, you'll see it the next game because he'll be starting.
No, well, it drops off when
he becomes
a starter.
But you promised me they're going to go. They're going to win 4 in a row.
Bro, you look at this schedule. You by default,
Pelicans they should beat.
It's the worst team in the West.
Kings they should beat.
Pelicans worst team in the league.
Kings Kings have quit.
Yes, we've seen it.
Clippers just depends on if Kawhi's playing.
He's supposed to be back. Yeah.
If he's playing, you're probably not winning that game.
But they're also 11th in the West right now. Kawhi's got to get that rust off, and you know it's thick. You know it's a thick layer of rust.
That's right. That's right.
So again, I see three that are winnable.
No, that's fair. Winnable is definitely true.
For a team that's got 6 wins.
Right.
And maybe that gets you back to 9-12. What did we say about 20 if you didn't have Zach Edey? We were going along the lines if you kept around 500. It's weird.
Yeah.
And they're in the play-in right now, even though
right.
it's not a spot necessarily that John and I like, just because you look at last year's, what's the value of getting swept by OKC as opposed to going into the lottery?
Apparently, it's like liquid gold, though, for Cedric Howard and you know, the young guys on this roster. That's what everybody says.
Well, I'm just saying, these teams right here, bad.
Yes.
And there's a good chance. Nine and 12, if you won the next three, New Orleans, L.A., they are on the road.
They are on the road.
One of these will likely step up. But if you did win three, 9-12 wouldn't be so far off.
No, that's fine.
20, yeah, you know, when we said you had to be around 500 or a little less. We were all saying we'd take that.
Yeah.
Now, Edie's back earlier.
Yep.
Ja comes back. I ain't trying to talk you into, you know, top six seed here.
No.
But what we might be seeing, I think Jeff was touching on this, is there's too much of a bottom.
Right.
To really get out of
right
10-11, you're going to be somewhere in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just that might have be true. To deal with it.
That might be true. Anyway, tough night for the Grizz last night. Nuggets get back to the winning streak, and the best player in the world, Peyton Watson, has 27 against the Grizz. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us. We'll talk to her about the state of the Grizz and more. Stick around, J&J 90 FM.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, man. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grass City Media, host of the Grizz Radio Network. I was driving home, listening to her on the ride home with John Roser and Bennett Doyle on 92.9 FM ESPN. And also I got a chance to see her for a little second yesterday. She joins us now. Welcome to the show, Jessica. How are we feeling?
Thank you. Nice to see you at FedEx Forum last
yes,
night.
It was a good time. So was that you that hit the table or somebody else? Because I did hear a moment I don't think it was violence, but it just sounded like, you know, frustration on that table up there.
It was not me, but you never know who is pounding the table in frustration at any given moment, you know?
That's right. That's
what happens at the table stays at the table.
No, that's good. That's really good. That's really good code. That's the G code mm-hmm. right there. And I apologize for asking you to break that. You know, that's a
thank you.
That's a very
it's a radio code. Come on.
Yeah, no question about it. Your team. All right, so that's a championship caliber outfit. So it's hard to be too critical of the result itself. But how do you square it when it was, you know, a 5-point game with 4 to play? You know, it felt like you had the home crowd behind you. How do you just square sort of how that game finished last night?
I think you have no choice but to square it as the Nuggets had the two best players on the court, and one of them is the best player in the world, capable of making the pass that he made to Peyton Watson to all but seal it. But just the connection that Jokic and Murray have, they look like two guys who have played over 700 games together, which is precisely what they have been. And they haven't been a perfect fit at every stretch of their career, but they got a championship out of it, and they've just grown into a level of comfort that is pretty enviable, and we saw it on display last night. And from the Grizzlies side of things, right now this team is not as good as the Denver Nuggets and doesn't have a Jokic and a Murray out there. And sometimes these things come down to that. And I don't want to create an oversimplification, but that really did feel to be the primary takeaway when we left last night.
Well, and then so much of it, and I agree with everything you said, and then so much of what's been a renewed defensive sort of identity, or at least maybe there's a better way of saying that, Jess, but you know what I'm saying, when you've had Zach Edey out there, yeah. And he goes out. We're all trying to figure out what happened. Just saw, head and will not return. I did see a clip where it looked like maybe their heads touched, but he continued to play. Just trying to figure out what happened with Zach Edey. Did you see anything from your vantage point?
No, it was just that clip that we've all seen at this point, and maybe you took an errant Jokic arm. And listen, I watched Jokic set some pretty nasty screens last night, and I found myself thinking, I bet it wouldn't be very comfortable to be on the other side of that. Yeah. So an errant Jokic arm probably has a similar effect. And I know it was the kind of thing that looks so innocuous that we're all searching for something else, but the fact that he didn't come back to the bench just shows like they clearly deemed him unavailable. And we'll find out on the injury report, and I believe the team is practicing before they head out on the road to New Orleans later today, so we should have an update fairly soon. But it sucked the wind out of the environment, and shout out to the crowd for getting back in it, and shout out for the Grizzlies, who go down 17 and fight their way back in. I would say from an overarching standpoint, this team has more of an identity than it had 2 weeks ago, and that's a positive to hold on to, but so much of that has been rooted in the Zach Edey of it all, and to remove that piece, I think especially on the defensive end, it just kind of forced everything out of place. That's Edey's greatest attribute, and he has many, but he just allows everyone to operate in a more like standing operating procedure kind of way. Yep. And so when you remove that, I think we saw kind of a crumbling there that we hadn't seen in the game since he had returned starting in Cleveland. And you have a Nuggets team that also just shot lights out, like 51% from three. And yes, was Peyton Watson wide open in the corner for a lot of them? Absolutely. Those things are just hard to overcome.
I do love going to Grizzlies games. Like I know that the results aren't fun. I do because it's really it is a party, even if we're not celebrating the wins. Because I think this probably also speaks to how chronically online I am, which is a separate issue. But I saw when Peyton Watson hit a three in the corner and immediately turned to the bench there on the court with a guy recording, and I looked to my wife and I said, "Yeah, that's going to be on TikTok." Like that's the TikTok guy. I don't remember what his username is, but there's
Courtside Unk.
Is that Courtside Unk. Yeah, that was absolutely Courtside Unk is gonna have that, because I know he's been chirping Peyton Watson all night, and Peyton Watson's been lighting his ass up. That's gonna be on TikTok. Yes. That's fun. I enjoyed that piece of it, like knowing, hey, at least if the Grizz are gonna lose, it'll be on TikTok.
I really enjoy those TikToks.
They're good.
It's a very fun look into what the communication, because they're chirping all game. The players, the guys courtside, and it's kind of like a show within a show, but it's very entertaining. And yeah, you're going to find it, and you're going to see a million versions of the Jokic pass that was awesome last night. And you wish that the Grizzlies could have pulled it out and had a surprise win and extended a winning streak to three. But now on the bright side, you do go to three straight opponents who are back in that under 500 category, and hopefully you can stack some wins there.
Yes, because at 9-12, if you went to right where I was going to go, we've painted a cloudy sky, obviously, to the point, even though it was a loss to a former champ and a former MVP in Jokic. But if I'd have said, okay, they go out and win these next three. No, they're on the road. You pointed to it. It's at New Orleans, who's last in the West. I think L.A.'s tied for 11th. No Kawhi's coming back, sounds like, or at some point. But there's going to be some rust there. And then you're at that Sacramento team that we just saw and feels like it's quit. If I'd have told you before the year 9-12, I think we were kind of doing a version of this, Jessica, you remember we were using like a 20-game sample size that if Zach Edey was out and you could tread water, that would to tell you 9-12. I mean, if you could get it to there, you'd feel like, I don't know, Jess, would we feel like, we came out kind of where we said we were. If you could be, it would be an okay place.
If you're 9-12 and you've played a grand total of 6 minutes with your three most important players on the court altogether, I think you're doing okay.
Yeah.
I really do. And I know it's hard because we become prisoners of the moment and they've only beaten bad teams. But still, like, we haven't seen how this is actually supposed to look yet, and I choose to live in a world where we are going to see it and believing that we are going to see it sometime soon, hopefully. But I will say the Kings all of a sudden have beat the Nuggets and beat the Timberwolves last night.
Weirdly.
So I don't know what happened to them coming out of the absolute beatdown. Maybe the Grizzlies beat the Mavs and they ended up firing Nico Harrison. The Grizzlies beat the Kings and maybe it like sent them into an existential crisis that they can't quit yet. But no, it's laid out in a way that the Grizzlies should be able to take advantage of at least a couple of these upcoming opportunities. You also get a Spurs team that should still be without Victor Wembanyama, and outside of collapsing and losing to Harrison Barnes, the Grizzlies were right in that game too. So hopefully when we get the injury report, Zach Edey's back out there. But I liked, you know, things to take from last night in a positive development kind of way. Jock Landale has been a really good bench big, and he had to play 31 minutes with the Edey injury yesterday. Jalen Wells finally got his shot going, and not just from three, but some really crafty, you know, creative like fadeaways and the little behind the back move that he had. If that can carry over, those are all things that can ultimately contribute to, even as the Grizzlies are waiting for the day where Josh, Aaron, Zach are all available for one game, you have these role players figuring out kind of a more, I don't know, concrete understanding of where they fit in this system, where they fit in this ecosystem. So every single one of those games matters for that reason.
Agree completely. If you did get it there, whether it's 9-12 or 10-12, maybe you could even get the Spurs and win all of them. Weird question, but we would call it a solid tread water effort, a good tread water effort based on our preseason predictions of this team. Who would you give the MVP of that solid tread water effort?
Oh, I don't want to be like the Mean Girls breaks the crown into six pieces, and it's very millennial coded of me to say everyone deserves a small piece. Mm-hmm. Like if Zach Edey only misses last night, and you get to this point where this turnaround has happened with him, because previous to his returning, they've lost 8 of 9 games.
Yeah, there's
so he
no
has
defense.
Been a revelation for this team. No defense, what he does as a screener, as a rebounder, everything. I'd probably give it to him. But I do think you make a solid case for Vince Williams Jr., because this whole thing falls apart if he's not able and willing to step into this point Vince role and be the fifth point guard on this roster. But
like
you need him. And he even had 7 assists last night. I know his offensive game has been quieter from a scoring standpoint, but what he gives as an additional playmaker and somebody who is always going to rebound and give maximum effort, I think that's where you get into the territory of being pretty appreciative of what Vince has given you and pretty confident in Vince asserting himself as someone who, even as this team gets healthier, he has played in a way that you would assume he will continue to get minutes for this team.
Talking to Jessica
I'm banking
Benson.
On it.
Yes, absolutely. Talking to Jessica Benson from Grind City Media Grizz Radio Network here on the show. How do you explain the defensive slippage from Jaren? I mean, I understand that offensive, like, you know, he's never really been accused of being a great scorer, especially as a top option. But it's, I mean, this is a man that was Defensive Player of the Year 2 or 3 years ago. This is a guy that's a 2-time All-Star, and it just feels like, you know, for whatever reason, even if you wanted to chalk it up to, all right, the offensive scheme, whatever, fine, with the coach. But how do you explain the defensive slippage and the drop-off from him here? Is offense bleeding into defense?
I mean, you can say he's never been an offensive player, but we saw him as that last year. I mean, he was putting up 30-point games, high 20-point games for the early portion of last season, when they really needed to rest on him, and that offense kind of going more through.
I mean, you're right. I mean, he was much better last year. You're right. I mean, much better.
So I thought that was going to take a step forward there, a step forward with the fouls, and obviously just continuing to build on a player who has won a Defensive Player of the Year and been in the conversation for, you know, being one of the best defenders in the NBA. But I wonder if there's some level of he didn't have an off season, and not trying to give an excuse out, but just literally searching for answers, coming off of the turf toe surgery, not having an off season where you could work out, where you could continue to develop your game. You come into a new system, a rookie head coach, everyone's figuring things out. And so far, there just has not looked to be a level of comfortability with Jaren. And then on top of that, we know that he operates at his best defensively when he is not having to play the center and when he can be next to a more true big. And so what Zach Edey opens up for him and what happens last night, Zach Edey plays 6 minutes. So Jaren comes back from injury, Edey's back out, and there hasn't been a real opportunity to get back into the most comforting rhythm for him. So also coming off this ankle thing that he dealt with for 2 games. So I wonder if there's health-related, comfort-related issues happening, but it's been tough to watch. And I think Jaren would be the first to say, like, he has to be better. The expectation, the amount of money that Jaren Jackson Jr. gets paid and where he is in the hierarchy of this team has to be better than what we've seen so far.
I heard Tim McMahon on the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst say that Memphis has gone from grit and grind to quit and whine. How would you respond to that, Jessica?
Damn.
I'd say everyone needs to take a chill pill when it comes to their Memphis takes.
It's turned
into this weird pile-on. And there really seems to be a true hate by various members of the national media. And maybe hate is too strong of a word, but a genuine distaste where anytime there is a chance to jump on an opportunity to dog the Grizzlies, they will do it. And it is a weird thing for a team that, you know, hasn't been at the center point of the NBA world as of late. But the whole conversation coming out of that Mavs game was bizarre to me. As somebody who sat from the side of, I'm fine with all of it. I'm fine with what Clay said. I'm fine with what Ja did. I'm fine with trash talk and rivalries. And I think hate is good for the league. But the think pieces that came out of it, the amount of oxygen exhausted on something that seems pretty small in the grand scheme of everything, just shows that the Grizzlies are a driver of like the dramatics storyline. And some of these national media heads just really seem to love the pile on almost to a weird degree.
Oh, Tim is infatuated with Ja and anything that he does that's in, remotely questionable or going over a line, or if he puts a finger in a future Hall of Famer's face, Tim McMahon is going to weigh in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, calling Ja just average, saying that that's what it stands, that's where he was, to just abysmal, it shows that for Tim, it seems personal. And that's where I say you're
personal and not
line.
Paying real attention. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not even right.
Right, right. Exactly. But unfortunately, I feel like we open ourselves up to it so much, Jess, whether it was the go ask the coaching staff or the fact that Ja in a Nike sweatsuit not playing has got his finger in what went on there? And unfortunately, you're drawn to it because of, unfortunately, your own decision-making.
And Tim is the Mavs guy, so he's going to be there. Well, he's going to have eyes on the ground, boots on the ground, and have the opportunity to,
stir it up and keep it going.
Yeah. And yes, of course. Like, I think that's an absolute truth. Like, Ja opens himself up to the criticism by being in street clothes, but you can also push back and say, just because someone's in street clothes, hate doesn't go away because one person's in street clothes and one person is in the sunset tour of his career in Klay Thompson, who went 0-6 against the Grizzlies 2 weeks ago and, yes, had a good game, but then took an absolutely abysmal shot to end that. But none of that really matters. It's just two parties that don't like each other, and that's okay. And I would always prefer to know how two people feel about one another, or one party in the Grizzlies and the other in Klay Thompson, as opposed to the rah-rah, let's do a jersey exchange and pretend like everything's okay. Like, no, there's a rivalry that runs deep for years at this point. And I just think we like made way too much out of the moment in the end.
Disagree with that.
Your initials are JB. What would Tim McMahon say your initials stand for?
Just brilliant.
Just ballin'. Just brilliant.
Just
I like
ballin'.
That.
Where are you ballin' at these days?
In my head.
We don't need to see you back on the court.
I know, nobody does.
We know, especially, with the proliferation of all the calf strains going around,
Yeah, I don't want to sacrifice my calf. I've actually been dealing with some calf soreness of my own, and I don't want to join the Grizzlies injury report, but
it's not just the Grizzlies. Doesn't Herb Jones have a calf as well for the Pelicans?
Yeah, he just had it last night. And yeah, Wemby has the calf strain, so
I wonder if the NBA will ever look at that and say, hey, maybe we're playing too many games over too small a sample, or will they just
they'll say, let's add five more.
Yeah. How about
– can we make money?
We'll add a tournament in Abu Dhabi.
That is coming next probably.
Yeah, everybody loves taking, the Saudi money now. It's just even Oakland college basketball is getting flown out there. I'm like,
I saw that.
Do they know Oakland why are they paying Oakland? I mean, that's just how they have so much money.
Jess is laying out of there.
I think so.
Okay, he's going to LSU,
but
right?
My overarching take on Lane Kiffin is never try to pretend like you can guess what he's going to do.
Agreed.
He will ultimately do what he wants to do and where the wind blows in that moment. So even if one day it's one thing, the other day it could be the next. So I will never like definitively sit here and say, yeah, I think Lane's leaving. But watching the press conference yesterday and just the conversation around the players and the statements from the players, just it all feels like the tea leaves are pointing towards a departure. But until he physically announces that he is going elsewhere, I guess you just never know.
If he wanted to stay, if he wants to stay happy, which was the thing about, you know, the whole Lane feature, would you advise him to stay in Oxford, or would you say, you know what, Lane, you can find happiness in Baton Rouge even with increased expectations? What would you advise him if he wants to continue to be happy?
Yeah, if he's comfortable and truly as happy as he has said he is in Oxford, you stay. I mean, we see this happen all the time in every industry where you convince yourself that the grass is not just greener, but more lucrative, more interesting, more fulfilling, and then sometimes you leave and you're worse off. And even though it was a bigger job in a bigger city or whatever it might be, like, it doesn't add to your life in the way that you expected it to. So if you are truly happy, why do we run from happiness and comfort? And I know the dollar speaks volumes in this situation, but it's an interesting philosophical human experience that we are seeing play out in the situation of Lane Kiffin.
Yep. Jessica, just balling. Keep it up. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, Jebby.
Brilliant. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. It's a good time, and we're very thankful for certainly our weekly guests that come on and help make this show go off.
Amen.
Without a hitch. So we certainly do appreciate that. Jessica Benson, one of them. Another one of them is Drew Hill. He's going to join us in the second hour. Another one of them is Frank Bonner during the college football season. Now, were there times where we looked, particularly forward to that segment? Absolutely. But he's still with us.
I still look forward to it.
Particularly, though, you know, because we were like, playoff.
CFP.
Playoff.
Call him Frank CFP Bonner. That's what we used to call him when he walked in here and we were still in the race. CFP.
The F stood for Frank in the CFP. No longer, unfortunately. Now it stands for, you know.
Beat Navy for extra year.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll talk to Frank about all that and more in the third hour. Big show today. Stick around. J&J, 90 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.